All right. Thank you. Thank you so very much. I love coming places where there's no shift and no drift. Everything is on track. And that's been obvious every time I've been here. It still is so. I appreciate Brother Savage for just keeping things headed like they need to be headed. Beheaded. I didn't mean to say that. But anyway, sometimes you get your tongue tangled around your eye tooth. You can't see where you're going, you know. But it's a delight. Yesterday was a precious day all day long. I felt right at home, as I always have here. And delighted to see all of you tonight. It's great having you here, and I enjoy getting to come back to Jackson once in a while. And got out and looked around just a little bit today, reminding myself of some things from years gone by. But it's a joy to have you here, and of course always a delight to preach with Brother Allison. They live not too awfully far from us, maybe it might be 100 miles or so, and we see them. He's on our board at the Sword, and we're just delighted to have them here tonight. And I'll get out of the way here in just a little bit, and we'll look forward to hearing him after I get past my 30 minutes here. So take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, great, great chapter. It's a long chapter, but it's divided up into sections. And the section that I want us to read tonight is the one starting with verse 81. Verse number 81, and I'll read all of that little section, the Cope section, it's called. My soul, verse 81, Psalm 119, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. How many of the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Now, look again at verse 85. That verse says, the proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. There's a reference to that same dilemma in verse 95 when he says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me. And again in verse 110, when it says, the wicked have laid a snare for me. And so when he talks about being in the pits and having a trap laid, and the fact that there are those who are so evil that they would try to destroy him. And yet he says, all the way along, I have hoped in thy word. I do not forget thy statutes. All thy commandments are faithful. I forsook not thy precepts. I kept the testimony of thy mouth. Now, I think about being in the pits. Obviously, a pretty negative situation. And the message tonight, if I had a title to put on it, I would call it Parading Through the Pits. Parading Through the Pits. You know, the human species is a tripartite being. We're body, we're mind, we're soul. And in this portion of Scripture that I've read, it's pretty obvious that all three, mind, body, and soul, have needs. All three of them, mind, body, and soul, those needs are addressed. And all three, mind, body, and soul, potentially, very likely, will have trouble along the way. There was a secular writer, she's dead now, a humorist, you'll remember her name perhaps, Irma Bombeck. She wrote a book one time entitled, If Life is a Bowl of Cherries, What Am I Doing in the Pits? Now, I didn't read her book, and I don't know what she had to say. But in this passage that I've just read to you, there are seven verses of pits. Seven verses of pits. And my guess is that sitting among us tonight, the 100 or so of us, maybe 85 or 95 or 105 of us, how many ever there are, my guess is there's not a single one of us that at some time we have found ourselves low in the pit. Low in the pit. Now, David, the human penman of this passage, he knew about the pits. He'd been a shepherd. I'm guessing he knew what it was to reach down into a 3 or 4 or 5 foot hole and pull up a little lamb and get him out of the pit. Possibly maybe even he himself stumbling around in the dark and some of those areas had fallen into a hole. But he knew that being a shepherd, I mean, the sheep, I mean, they get themselves in trouble. But here you and I are, we're the servants of God. We're living in a world that has gone slap, dab, nutsoid crazy. Evil men waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. All of that, the Bible tells us, will be the case. Perilous times of the last days, all of that. We're the servants of God. We have a job to do. We have a responsibility. We have a duty to see after. Now, it seems to me that here we are, the parade's about to start, and we're in the pits. There are other people there. They're ready to march. They're ready to go. They're ready to do what they should do. But here I am on this day, and I have a dilemma. I'm in the pits. What do I do? Let me just walk you through these pits that are noted here. Verse number 81, when he talks about his soul fainting for salvation. The pit of lostness. The pit of lostness. It is a pit that every one of us either found ourselves in and found a way through the Lord Jesus to extricate ourselves from that pit, or we are still in that pit. The pit of lostness, where our soul helplessly looks right and left, looks up and down, and says, I am fainting. There is nothing that I can do to help myself. The soul does faint. It's depraved and desperate, and consequently it's doomed and headed to the bottomless pit. And people everywhere, up and down these streets out here, they're in the desperation of a pit that they need to be pulled from. That's why we go out and fish on the streets. We go, we run bus routes. We go knock doors. We do all of those things because there are people all up and down these streets who are in the pits. They may be falling in there because of alcohol or drugs or just their own stubbornness and rebellion, but they are in the pit of lostness and they cannot help themselves. My soul faints for thy salvation, he says. So you got that pit to deal with. In the second place, verse 82 talks about what I'm going to call the pit of a wounded heart. He said, my eyes are failing me. And I'm saying to myself, dear God, when are you going to comfort me? When are you going to help me? I'm hurting, dear God. He's crying out to God, and it's like saying, I've been wounded. When are you going to bring healing for me inside? It's a wounded heart. It's the kind of thing that comes from failure, from crises, from burdens that are so insurmountable that when they fall upon your shoulders, they crush you to the ground. That pit of a wounded heart, it demands, it necessitates, it cries out for comfort. And you know, so many people, they try every kind of a thing. I mean, they stick their head in the door of every quack, every social quack, every medical quack. You just name it. There are quacks everywhere. And they stick their head in all of these doors. They come out. They spend their money there. Everything fails them. And finally, the psalmist indicates he's turning to God. He's listening to his word. And yet, at the moment, he's saying in this 82nd verse, comfort hasn't come. And he's growing impatient with God. You and I, from the pit of a personal heartache, from the pit of a wounded heart, I suppose it's kind of natural we would raise issues with God and say, when are you going to encourage me? When are you going to make me feel good? When are you going to help me in this process? It is an inner personal pit. Now, it's important that you and I not quit when we're in the pit. It's important that we not let that snare or that person or that crowd of persons that are trying to destroy us, it's important that we not just fold up and quit. You look at verse 83, there's another one. This is the one I call the pit of hard times. He says, I'm become like a bottle in the smoke. If you can imagine those leather bottles that they used for all kinds of things in storing liquids of one kind or another, and they might hang them in a building. I remember growing up here in West Kentucky, when I was growing up, everybody had a smokehouse. You killed hogs, you hung the meat in the smokehouse. And I'm guessing even now when you get smoked ham and other things, somebody out there somewhere has got a big commercial operation where they do a similar type of situation. If you hang leather bottles in there where the heat, the smoke, and all that is, it's going to crack. It's going to start flaking. It's going to get dry. It's going to be parched. It'll get old before its time, and ultimately it'll get cast aside. And he said, I feel like I'm a bottle in the smoke. You say, a bottle? Yeah, he said, I feel like a crackpot. Now, folks, if it were easy, there might be a few people who would do it. Sometimes we say if it's easy, everybody would do it. I don't think everybody would do it even if it was easy. But in hard times, you and I say, we're coming unglued. We're coming apart at the seams. Everything is flaking off on us. I mean, I'm in a fog. And what he tells us here is, he said, I'm like a bottle in the smoke, but I did not forget. I do not forget thy statutes. He said, I know what you taught me. I know what you demanded of me. I know what the rules are. I know what the divine commands are. And he said, I've had my trouble. But he said, I haven't forgot to follow you, dear Lord. I haven't just thrown myself into disobedience and determined to just throw it all out. I have not done that. I have stayed true in the midst of that. Look at verse number 84. There's another pit. He says, how many are the days of thy servants? When are you going to execute judgment on those turkeys that let's see, maybe that wasn't in there. But that's what he's talking about. He's saying there's a bunch of devils, and they have been angry with me. They have been unreasonable with me. And dear God, when are you going to give them what they got coming? It's the pit of a bad attitude. Now, let me just say to you, if you get hit and you get hurt, and if you let anger well up in your soul, morning, noon, and night, you become an angry person. The result of that is going to be bitterness in your soul. And bitterness in your soul is going to sour everything that you touch. Now, this bad attitude, this bitterness and anger, I'm telling you, if you let it have time to germinate in your soul, in your body, in your mind. I mean, you're going to find yourself becoming vengeful. You're going to become a just a contrary rascal in every sense of the word. And you say, but it was unfair. It's unfair what they've done to me. It's unfair. Hey, listen, it may be unfair, and it may not get any better as time goes along. But listen to what he's saying here. He's saying, Even in the pits, don't swelter there. Don't just stay there. He's saying, your commandments are true. I know that they're true. He's struggling with all of this. And you'd be less than normal if you didn't struggle with some of the junk that comes to you. Trash falls in your yard? Absolutely. You say, what in the world? Here, I've had everything all cleaned up and nice and fixed and polished and pruned and everything's in place. And then the devil and some of the imps of hell come and trash up my place. They trash up my life. They trash up my family. You'd be less than normal if you didn't do as he did here and cry out a little bit. Those old pits, they're not the Holiday Inn. They're not the Country Inn and Suites. They're not the Hampton Inn. They're not the Hilton. They're not the Marriott. Those pits, they're not the old country store over here where I ate lunch today. No. Menu in those places, they're not Mac whatever. They're not any of those places. Not a place where you want to eat. Not a place where you want to sleep. Look at verse 85. He said, the proud have digged pits for me. What have they done? They betrayed him. An ungodly society, I mean, there's no telling what they will do. He says, what they've done is not after thy law. He's saying, that crowd, they are an unscrupulous, ungodly crowd. They're following somebody else's rules. They're not following your rules, dear God. And they dug this pit for me. In verse 86, as another one, it's the pit of persecution. They persecute me wrongfully. Listen, the early church folks were arrested, they were thrashed, they were imprisoned, they were even martyred, and all of it wrongfully. Joseph got thrown down into the pit. Remember his story? But from the pit and even from the prison, Joseph had no pity upon himself. I do not find him just sitting there pouting and throwing out profane expressions from his mouth. None of that. Listen, you and I cannot stop the stress. But we sure can strengthen ourselves for the load that it brings to us. And at least one more here, verse 87. I just call it the pit of defeat and destruction and even death. They had almost consumed me upon earth, he said. Almost consume me. The ravages of earth can almost consume us and bring us to ruin. You hear people say, man, they ate my lunch. Well, if it was just your lunch, it wouldn't be all that bad. But they do something to you that's so devastating. Now, here's the point to be made. He lays out all of these scenarios that I've walked you through here. Pit after pit after pit, seven of them. But he says, when my soul was in desperation, you know what I did? I went straight to the Lord. I got in the line where God was passing out salvation. I put my hope in what you promised. I put my hope in your word. He says, verse 83, he said, all of this happened to me, but he said, I did not forget your statutes. No, siree. He said, I knew your commandments. I knew what you'd laid out. I have all of that at my disposal. I understood that, and I did not forget it. I may have been in the pits, but I didn't give in to the pits. I didn't become like the pits. I didn't let the pits determine who I am. Then he testifies in verse 86 when he says, all thy commandments are faithful. You know, when you're in the pits, you'll appreciate a little drink of water. Somebody brings you a little word of encouragement, you'll appreciate it. I had a text from somebody today. It's a preacher that I have some contact with. Betty and I had lunch with him and his wife recently. And in his text, he said, I just appreciate the encouragement. Well, you know, Betty and I were just having a good time enjoying their friendship and enjoying lunch with them. But what he said to me today was, the time we had together was encouraging. He didn't tell me he's got a heavy load. He didn't tell me something's going wrong. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but I suspect from the text, maybe, that when we were together, he had a load he didn't tell me about. And sometimes just the slightest little word put an arm around somebody, in effect, and the result of that is they are helped. And he said, thy commandments are faithful. I know I've tasted your good stuff. And when I was hurting and hungry, he said, what you gave to me was faithful. It was there for me. And then he said, I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Basically saying, hey, I didn't quit. I stayed with the stuff. I stuck with you. I did not quit. I'm pressing on. you say, but man, with all of this stuff that is going wrong, yes, life as we know it, life, I mean, our mind, our body, our soul, I mean, we exist by the compassions of God. We exist because of a great Creator God. We are sustained by Him. And so, whatever is coming down the pike, you and I do ourselves well instead of ingesting the bitterness or ingesting the anger or saying, I've been hurt like nobody's. Instead of us going there every day, even when we're in the pits, we need to get up, march ourselves to our altar, get on our face before God, lift our eyes up toward heaven and say to Him, dear God, you're God. I know you're God. You're my Savior. And I will trust you. Today, I will trust you. You may not be able to solve next week today, but you can solve today. And whenever the morning rolls around again, you can go through that all over again and keep the testimony. You say, but somebody maligned me unmercifully. Just keep looking up. You say, somebody lied about me. You don't have to respond to every nasty thing that somebody else does. I can't imagine it would ever happen at Bethel Baptist Church, but somebody in this church might disappoint you. I've known that to happen in good churches. Probably has never happened here, but it could happen. And if somebody, I'm not talking about somebody 5 miles down the road who's living a dog's life. I'm talking about somebody in the church and they disappoint you. Well, you say, well, I got hurt by that. That's one thing. But the bigger question is, how are you going to deal with that? I mean, you found yourself face down in a pit with mud on your face. And it's Sunday school time. It's church time. It's bus route time. It's soul winning time. It's tithing time. What am I going to do? Well, my suggestion is don't just lay there and wallow in the pit, but get up, get up, get up, and march. The parade is about to start. Don't let them leave without you. Say, but I got all this trouble in my life. There's no better place in town and the confines of your precious church. So I'm just simply saying, life may be in the pits, and it may hit your mind, it may hit your body, and it may hit your soul. And you may not be able to get out on Broadway where the big crowd is because you're laying low in a pit somewhere. I'm going to tell you what I suggest. Even if you are in the throes of some valley, I'm going to suggest that you just march and march and march anyway. I was somewhere. I went out of the hotel for breakfast down the street to Hardee's. You have Hardee's here? Hardee's. Best biscuits and gravy in the country. And I went down to Hardee's to eat breakfast. And I noticed right outside the window, there's a guy. And he's got himself a place marked off. It couldn't have been more than 15 feet. He's walking this way. He turns around and he walks back. He walks back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I was there the next day. Guess what? The guy was still there. Came back again. He was walking back and forth, back and forth. I was there a third day, same thing's going on. So finally I asked somebody, I said, what is the story on that guy? And the person that I asked, I guess, was there all the time. And they said, oh, he's there every morning. I said, what's his story? They said, we don't know. But they said, I tell you what I do know about him. He's got a spot marked off, and he walks back and forth. I could almost tell by looking at him, he had trouble. I don't know what it was, but I know he had trouble. But here was a guy out in public, and he had found him a spot. He was just marching. I mean, you say, but the parade's out on the street. That's where everybody's marching in that parade. He didn't get invited to that parade. He had locked himself into a little 15-foot spot somewhere, but he didn't let it stop. I mean, you say, we don't have a parade in our town. Well, go start one, amen. You're dug down into the pit. Don't let it stop you from being who you are and from doing what you ought to do. Just keep trucking, as they say. Parading even in the pits. You say, but I'm under fire. You say, I'm totally exhausted. You can do like David did. That last verse, he said, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. He had all this junk going on around him, but he didn't let it stop him. His testimony was right there. And what I'm suggesting to you tonight is, oh, that the drummer will beat a beat for us that will be a march for victory. That the bugler will sound a charge to send us forth so that every order that comes from our commander-in-chief will observe it and obey it. Even if we're in the pits and the parade is about ready to begin and we're still in the pits, get on your full dress uniform. Get your weapons ready to show. And get your attitude on so that you're eager to march. You say, but things are not like I want it to be. March, march. Stay in the parade. You say, but I've got all this pressure. March, friend, march. You say, it's unfair what they're doing to me. Stay in the parade. Don't let up. You say, but it's hard, it's expensive, and I'm weary. You find a spot, and you just clean that spot off and you make it yours. And you say, by the grace of God, I'm going to keep marching. The proud have digged a pit for me. It's not after thy law, but oh, dear God, your commandments are faithful. And because they are faithful, I have not forsaken thy precepts, and I will keep the testimony of thy mouth. Oh, dear God, please help me to keep parading. Even when I'm in the pits, dear God, please. I need to hear what I've had to say. And I pray that you'll help me to keep parading. And for my brothers and sisters in this place, I pray, dear Lord, for every one of them, whatever their load, whatever their burden, I pray that you'll help them to keep marching, keep marching, keep marching, and just be dutiful about every day's business. And Lord, I thank you for that. Bless Brother Allison as he comes to preach in a minute. And may the sweet Spirit of God so move in this place tonight that all of us will say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.